The way I usually wake people up about that is I say, you've got about 68 inert things in it, and five main compounds that go along with the so-called disease. It's either grown, most often it's grown on eggs. So they let the eggs rot and they contaminate them with this, with tissue, diseased tissue of that animal. And then, of course, the bacteria and everything is supposed to grow in the solution, and they put a tiny amount of that, I mean a fraction amount of that, into the vaccine. But what else is in there? They say inert material. What is that inert material? If it's 63 chemicals, what is it? They can't be helpful. No chemical is helpful in the body. And then the main ingredients are liquid mercury, liquid aluminum, formaldehyde, ether, and detergent. Now, if I put that into a blender with some rotten eggs and some animal, diseased animal tissue and offered it to you to drink, would you drink it? When I tell people that, they step back and say, oh, gosh, no, I wouldn't drink that.
Wearing a mask on the beach. What's next, man?
You tell me it's for safety. You tell me how to clean things. You tell me it protects me. And you know that you're right, cause they tell you every night. I see you wearing PPE when you're walking down the street. I think you're part of the disease. You're indoctrinated sheep.
Alrighty, hello everybody. It is 4/18/2021. It's 8:36 in the PM Eastern Daylight Savings Time. This is the Fakeologist, Fakeologist.radio. Okay, that's enough. That was Masking in Your Sleep by Media Bear. We interviewed him last week. Great guy, very interesting perspective. And that's his latest video. I actually really enjoy that one. It's not quite as good as his painted black one, but it's amazing how he learned, how he can fit words to music, and he does a pretty good job in the videos too. I think he's got his wife in there, and he has his friend who does the music and the lyrics, I think. But anyway, it's really good stuff. Well, I've had a busy weekend working and distributing no more lockdown signs. If you want a sign, you live in the most oppressed state in North America, Ontario, you can go to nomorelockdowns.ca and order a sign. The website doesn't look like they update it all that much. It's a volunteer site, but the main point of the site is to donate or order a sign. I actually went to one guy who said he donated $100 today. Pretty good. And he asked if I was getting paid. I said, no. This is volunteer work, and it's the least I can do. And I still don't see enough signs when I'm driving around. Leads me to believe that most people are okay with the toughest lockdown measures in all of North America. I really didn't think that Ontario would get it the worst. But on the other hand, I really didn't know what to expect. I certainly didn't believe the email, that leaked email that came through last year from the Liberal Party committee meeting member, which I just think it's the intelligence agencies. They have the plan, they give the plan, and they leak the plan and just wanted to see the gullibility, believability of Ontarians. And they know it's high. There wasn't much outrage, and probably not much kickback. And most people are desperate to get the quaxine. We're in the middle of the largest, most successful marketing campaign of any product in the history of the world right now. And it's really because they have such total spectrum dominance to get the message to you. They've got your phone, which is the absolute direct connection you have with the media. And it doesn't matter what platform you're on. It'll come down one way or the other. They've got the old-fashioned TV, radio, the radio show that I listen to just to hear what normies have to say. They actually are a podcast, but they actually got a PR person to get some more advertising. And what's the first advertising money they got? The Ontario government, which is my tax dollars and yours and your children's and your children's children's and your children's 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 money. So they're spending money like crazy, pumping up demand for this quaxine, this experimental biological injection. It's not a quaxine by any traditional sense of the word. It hasn't been tested. Its testing process is right now on you and your grandmother and, of course, your children. How about some infants in the mix? See how they do with the quaxine. So this is the largest chemical experiment in the history of the world. And they've made it so you don't even think that. Nobody is thinking that way. They just think they want to get their immortal dose so they can go back to normal. But the controllers are already telling you it's not going back to the old way. You're still going to need all the measures because of the variants. What else do they call them? They call them other things. Just basically different strains. Strains, that's another word they use. They have all kinds of words for the so-called viri. Apparently across the animal kingdom, I don't think it's in the human body, but if you multiply all the so-called viruses in humans and other animals, the number is 320,000. And I did the math the other day for everyone. If That means that they would need a different quaxine for 320,000. So every day they'd need a different quaxine for the rest of time, basically. You can do the math yourself. So this is never, ever, ever going to end until people just wake up and just get a little bit of education. Come on, guys. Is it ever going to happen? I don't know. So far, no good. Frustrating. Now, for the people that... I just got a little twit, a little noise on... where did I get a noise? I got a noise on Discord. Let's see if it's for me. No, it's not for me. Well, Exoteric sent me something. Oh, I see. Exoteric wants me to put on a Cutting Through the Matrix from 12 years ago, it says here. Okay, we'll look at that. He wants me to put that on Master Fake Theater. Master Fake Theater is just a bunch of podcasts that I thought were really good, and they were in the main feed. But if you want to go find it, go to fakeologist.com/audio, and then you can click on the different links there to find it. Or on the main page, you can go to the right side and find categories. Just type Control F on your browser and type category, and you'll find it. I can do it right now. Here's the main page of fakeologist.com/blog. And if you go there, type Control F and then type category. It'll jump down over here to category. So then you click the drop down list and you can go to audio and scroll down to Master Fake Theater, which is somewhere here. Come on now, where is it? Oh, here it is. Under the Fakeologist Show, there's 17 Master Fake Theater. So click on that, and it will bring up all the audios that I call Master Fake Theater. A lot of them are Marcus's, but here's one from Dr. Tim.
Hello, this is the Fakeologist speaking. You're listening to Master Fake Theater, where I present to you some of my favorite 9/11-centric audios. I selected these audios based on the idea that they will help further your knowledge of the hoax that 9/11 was. While I can't endorse every thought in each audio,
This is Dr. Tim on Corona.
Funded, the whole coronavirus epidemic will probably
vanish from our
radar,
and we'll never hear of it again.
Here's another one, Alex
Lodglia, on Bill Cooper talking
about
germ theory.
Because the same...
That was an oldie but a goodie. Let's see if that'll play. Come on now. Load her up. Let's see if it loads up. I hope that everything loads up good tonight. If you're looking to find, if you're listening to this as a post-show, here we go. A little extra time.
That he developed that rivaled the resolution and magnification of today's current electron microscope. Nevertheless, his words will serve me well here as an introduction tonight.
Not the best audio quality. That's from 1993. Remember 1993, everybody? That's a long time ago. That was another great one. Oh, this is a great one. The Revelations of Dr. Day. This is a guy who went to a meeting with Dr. Day in the 60s to find out the plan, which we're living in now. And he took notes on a napkin.
This is my daughter, and I don't want her to have to carry this pregnancy to term because she's not yet mature enough to be a mother and take care of a baby. So... It was sort of a win-win situation for them.
So much good stuff on Master Fake Theater. Highly recommended. Take a listen. Go find it. Well worth your effort. I should probably fix that up and put a direct link on fakeologist.com/audio, but I gave you the trick to find them. Now, if you're smart enough to have found me tonight, let's see who's listening tonight. Not who, but how many. I go to my little controller here. It says there's absolutely one person on Twitch. We're on YouTube, Facebook, DLive, and we're also on FakoTube, everybody. FakoTube. Please go to FakoTube.com. That's my site. That's where I post my favorite links. And we are live now. Let's see if the chat works. The chat. I'll just put a message. Hello. And there, the chat works. So there's my hello message. So... just get a login at fakeotube.com and say hello. not a lot of action there tonight. I didn't send an email till later because I was busy out giving, making or putting up these signs tonight. And I'm here Sunday to Thursday, by the way. Was not here earlier yesterday or the day before. But yes, Sunday to Thursday is when I'm broadcast. I'm also on the radio, where am I? Darkmatter.radio. So hello to all those people. Okay. Well, let's just go through the blog real quick. I'm a little tired tonight, so I'm not necessarily going to take any calls either. So I'll go through the blog. I have a lot of stuff that I didn't get to on the Thursday call because we had a caller in her. So I'll go through real quick from the blog. One of the shows I listen to is, what is the name of that damn show? Realize Radio. Episode 4 with Human Vibration. She was on my show. She does a good job. And she said something interesting that I had thought about before, but she basically said she wonders if North Korea is a Potemkin village. She didn't use those words, but she just said something to the effect that maybe there's nobody in North Korea. Now, I've heard of podcasters like the Dutch guy who was, or the Danish guy that I interviewed on fakeologist.com radio that said, I think he went to North Korea. But it gave me the idea that maybe North Korea is a Potemkin village, which basically means that there are a few places with people in them, at least on the surface, but maybe most of the country's empty. And they're being used as a foil, of course, to scare the hell out of the South Koreans, which used to be just the Koreans. And then they built the demilitarized zone. My grandfather was actually in that war. But even if war is a hoax, he did go to North. He did go to Korea. That is a fact. At least he thought he went to Korea. So, but then I looked just quickly. I didn't do that much research, but then I looked up the population of North Korea just for shits and giggles. And it says here it's 25 million, which is a pretty dense population for that land mass. But then I saw the global share, some magic numbers, 0.33. 54 global rank, that's 5 plus 4 is 9, yearly change, 0.44. Then I thought, well, what are some of the past populations? And I don't think I posted that. So I'm going to go to, I should have put a link to that, actually. So let us go to, that was just a picture right there. So let's go quickly to see what I'm talking about. So let's go to population of North Korea. And by the way, I use DuckDuckGo now. It seems that more people are coming to my site through DuckDuckGo, which uses Google to search, to be sure, but it doesn't use your login. So it doesn't remember that it's you that's doing the searching. So you're not giving Google any data. So DuckDuckGo, I'm just using that because does it use... I'm pretty sure it uses Google search, but I'm not sure now because that screen looked a little different. So let's look at the population of North Korea, which became a country, I suppose, after the Korean War. And there's some, it's very fishy, the numbers. The numbers have pretty much all been about the same, 25 million. 25 million going all the way back to 2010, 2015. So the last 6 years. Now, we're told that the fertility rate is 1.9, which means 2.1 is the replacement rate. So it's basically been static. Now, I don't know if they take in any immigrants. Think about it. Who would be dying in the world to go to North Korea? Maybe Chinese, but I doubt it. Maybe Russians, that's another border, but I doubt it. So the numbers are suspicious. And then here's the population forecast. Basically, it's the same. So even though their birth rate is below replacement rate, their population remains, is projected to be static, basically. It should be going down every year. So that just led me to think that I have a funny feeling it's a Potemkin village. They have a couple places where there are people, but I have a funny feeling they don't, there's just nobody in North Korea. It's just a prop to keep the South Koreans in line and worried and spending money on the military and providing a beachhead for the Americans as a military force in the area. Let's see how many troops, number of American troops in South Korea. And I bet you it's pretty high. Let's see. 29,000 American soldiers are in the United States Forces Korea, USFK. The sub-unified command of the United States Indo-Pacific Command, U.S. Indo-PACCOM. Wow. Let's just see here. Yeah, 24,000 Americans are still there. Why? 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 Well, because North Korea is a threat? I don't think there's anyone in there. I think it's a Potemkin village. And they even admit on the border that there is a Potemkin village on the border. That was part of this. When I looked up Potemkin village, one of the examples was North Korea. Physical example. North Korea has a Potemkin village called Kijong-dong. It's inside the demilitarized zone, which makes no sense. It's also called the Peace Village. It appears empty despite its advertised population of 200 families. And I think it boasts the largest flagpole, this thing. So I really think this is just a stark reminder to South Koreans just to chop, chop. Get to work. Be afraid. I think it might be right. And every year, the same old dumb story comes out that the dear leader is firing off nuclear missiles in the Sea of Japan and that everyone be afraid and one might make America one day and some are nuclear, be afraid, blah, blah, blah. There's really very little variance to the story. So it's probably just total BS. So I put that thought there. So I bet you there's maybe a couple hundred thousand people. Maybe they use it as a prison for South Koreans. I don't know. But my thought is there's probably no one there. If anyone wants to dispute me, you can go ahead. But I think all the military exercise B-roll footage is just that. It could be done in Hollywood for all we know. Probably is. Now, I do a lot of research on Twitter. Twitter is, the promise of Twitter was for it to be a microblogging platform where anyone could not need, would not need a blog. They could just literally post their thoughts in 140 characters, mainly from their phone. And it would be a huge river of just text posts. And it is valuable for many reasons, just mainly because of the diversity of people on there. And a lot of official accounts are on there from government. Government seems to think it's a great place to officially post stuff. So you really have to go on there. And every now and then, especially with the coronavirus hoax going on, there's a lot of these public health tyrants publishing their garbage on there. And you get clues as to what's going on. But one of the links here that I found on Twitter was basically a link to oldnormalontario.substack.com. Now, I have to admit, I'm not too sure what Substack is. It seems to be another publishing service because John C. Dvorak from the No Agenda show is there. So I think it's just a place to publish your documents. It's maybe some kind of microblog. I don't know what it is exactly. But they said that these charts here are showing how Michigan, Ontario, and Western New York, their graphs are similar. They're going in the same wave. And this speaks to my argument that they are trying to keep the numbers. Well, let's put it this way. I think they're keeping the numbers of all the future Great Lakes mega region in line because they want to synchronize all the policies of the two countries, Ontario and the United States, together. Now, the Great Lakes mega region, as I put in this post, is the largest mega region in North America. There's 60 million people in this area. So I think it will be the first one they do. It will be the first mega region that they actually create. And apparently there's supposed to be 11 mega regions. I'm not sure if that includes all of Canada. It may just include the border Canada. They may create more mega regions in northern Canada. But for the most part, they are going to synchronize the states and Ontario. So all the laws, all the simulated COVID numbers are going to be the same. And that's what this article is stating. They're very similar. We're going through the similar lockdowns, all that kind of thing. All the three neighbors of Ontario, Michigan, and Western New York, three different provinces and states that straddle an international border and have different policies and leaders, yet have case curves that all look rather similar in the timing of their peaks and troughs. Ask yourself, is this a coincidence? Well, this is not coincidologist. Were all three neighbors carefully coordinating their policies? Yes. Or were natural seasonal forces at play? No. So there you go. That's why they're doing it. This is all about simulated numbers. There's no way to check on the numbers. There's no way to verify them. They're using a non-test. For the most part, the PCR amplification process, which is not a test, but that's what they're using as a test. So there's no way to verify any of the numbers at all. But if you're running a simulation and you want to keep these, you want to assimilate these areas into a mega region for 2050, well, you only got 29 years left to do it. So this is how they do it. So this person noticed these numbers, and that's what the point of this post was. And I've made this case before. I can't look at every single area that's going on right now because there's just too much data. So I'm only focusing on where I live, but you should check where you live and see if the states in your area are doing similar things. And I bet you will find that they are. That is definitely one of the main objectives of the COVID's Great Coronavirus Hoax Reset. Okay, now I don't know what to make of the negative vaccine stories. It's hard to tell. I personally don't know anyone who's died from the vaccine, and they are getting vaccinated around here all the time. I just went on a walk tonight, and I overheard some guy lamenting. He's doing all he can to get the vaccine. He's twisting arms. He's talking to different doctors. He can't wait to get his dose of immortality. When you read all these stories about some of the negative stuff, and here's an anecdote from a blog called Vox Day. And it said he got this email. So you don't know. We can't verify this. But it is interesting, so I'll read it. He said, my roommate just called me. He was at Kroger buying food. She said they had a place set up where people were offering the vaccine. What people? The deli counter? They were offering the... Like, Kroger's a grocery store. Who is giving vaccines? They don't say. So I take this with a grain of salt. My roommate watched a man get the jab and sit down. 3 minutes later, the man said he can't breathe and falls over. They gave him CPR. Who gave him CPR? Until the paramedics arrived, but the man was already dead. He's fucking dead. Less than an hour ago, he was probably buying cookies for his children. I don't know. I think it's atrocity propaganda, but it could be. If any of you guys could actually verify that someone has died from the quaxine or any flavor of the quaxine, and there's lots of flavors, let me know and tell me how trustworthy you think the story is, because I'm highly skeptical of these stories, but on the other hand, I still wouldn't take it anyway. It's just insane to, as Anonjus Vander Plank said, Anon Juice, and this is at fake11.com/click.
I'd say never let anybody stick anything into you, ever.
Yeah, so that is my, if you want to go to that site or page directly, fake11.com/clips. That will bring you to this page. And I think Mr. Unreal was asking about that. And there's lots of good chats and comments on fakeologist.com. The donations have been slow in the last week, but we'll just thank the top donors lately. We had Babette 15 gave some Do-Re-Mi. We had Anonymous give 0.0911 Monero on 4.2. Peter S. gave $10. Peter S. gave $10. And I see I got a call coming in. I didn't open the lines yet, but it is phone time. So let me get the lines going here. Oh, there we go. Fakeologist.
Yo, Fakeologist, it's Walker. How you doing?
Good, Walker. How you been?
Pretty good, pretty good. How's Ontario, man? It sounds pretty shitty up there. Just wanted to give my condolences.
Does that news get all the way down to where you are? What's going on here?
I don't think the common folk have much idea. But I mean, I know about it because you post about it.
Oh, okay,
people,
yeah.
Follow and stuff, you know. I'm more tuned into that stuff, and I'm kind of curious about Canada since you talk about it so much, you know. And it does seem to be getting it way, way worse than where I'm at. But I don't really think my neighbors and stuff would have much of an idea.
Yeah. Well, we're in, I don't know what level they want to call it. Who gives a crap what the level is? It's they're definitely shutting us down. I'm going to say now till, I think the projected official date's 28 days, but I'm going to guess it's going to go right into the summer. So that's pretty drastic. They are really putting the KO to business. They just want to kill it. They just want to kill the beast. That's the only way I can think about it. See, I don't think at all in terms of a virus. See, that whenever I hear announcements, I just think, how many more businesses will it kill off? Because we know that this has nothing to do with the virus. So they are definitely going for the kill shot for the businesses. I can't see it any other way. They really want to kill off the restaurants, anything independent, anything where you can make your own living. I'm not so sure about construction. I know a lot of people in construction and restoration. Those guys are going crazy. But the one guy told me in construction they were laid off for a month this year because of the lockdown. So I don't even know who's locked up and who's not locked up. It's hard to tell. It's really hard to keep up. The mainstream media is not going to tell you anything. So I rely on Instagram, which seems crazy. It seems crazy to go to Instagram, and I'm just going to Real Chris Sky. He's been deleted off Instagram. So that's going to cost a lot of viewers for him, for sure, just because people just don't know how to find places, basically. But Chris Sky went and started his own website, which is smart. But he's going to have to get back into the social media just to get people to his site. But, yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all.
Yeah, man, you're way ahead of the curve on getting your own platform and stuff. I mean, you saw that coming from a mile away.
10 years ago.
Yeah, so, and it's true. They just, you know, these Americans and Canadians, and it just seems like all the Anglo countries, all the westernized countries, these people can't think for themselves. They can only, if you can put something in front of them, and they'll use it. But as far as, you know, kind of foraging through the internet on their own, trying to like glean information and find content, I mean, it's you know, just kind of hopeless, sadly. I mean, for most people, you know.
I agree. Well, the thing is, it's called flooding the zone. So you put the easiest, most brain-dead type software in front of people, and they're going to use it. It's just like fast food. You put it before them, make it easy, make it just so simple that they will use it, and then they'll get stuck there. I admit, I go to Instagram, and I can lose an hour, and immediately an hour will disappear. And not really looking at hot girls, because they're what's served up first. But I have my list, sure, across the top here of mostly truthers. And then they put up these things called stories, where you click on
it.
Well, you'll either get 30, a live,
so
one. Here's a live guy.
Gather people.
Hold,
you know,
on.
Why can't we send 50 or 60 to your restaurant? Like, kettle. You know, like, why can't we?
So That's where young truthers are talking. These aren't really truthers. They're just people that are losing their income and their livelihood. But that's where I go. So you can go to here. Here's a non-live story. I'll just show you quickly for all you guys that don't use Instagram. And then you wait forever for it to load. So we're wasting time waiting for it to load. And then you get these people, they make these stories. So what you do is anything you like on Instagram, you throw to your story. And then these things come up. And the only good thing about this is, for instance, here's an interesting post. So you can click on this, and that'll take you to the post. And then if you like the post, then you can go like this, or is it? Go like this, and then you can usually post it to your own story, but I noticed I can't do it from the web, which is funny. Anyway. They just have all, so that's how you use Instagram. Where can I share this to my story? I don't know. You know, it's different for the phone as it is from the desktop. So they have all kinds of dumb.
They've got the best, you know, UI engineers, the best software engineers,
yeah,
in the whole world. They're finding that are doing like building Instagram. The best people are the ones building. And they got one aim in mind: suck your attention away. You know, you've talked about it before.
Yes.
It's an attention suck. If you're not focused on the people who are, you know, perpetrating a psychological war against you and your family, then that's all they need. They just need you distracted.
The massive time sink. They just distract the hell out of people. That is the name of the game. So they're passing laws in Canada like you have no idea. And you don't hear about it. You don't hear about it at all. Let's just see if we can find a law that's being passed right now. Every story. So I think this is the Canadian. This is me here. Let me just look at my custom news source. So my news source is they're just moving the age range around for the AstraZeneca. I thought it was banned, but I guess it's not banned here, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the facts are. So now people are just arguing about how much vaccine, where it's coming from, can you get it? They're just doing all the things that a marketing genius would do to build up demand. I mean, this is, and I get this idea from the No Agenda show. They think that the Pfizer marketing guys are doing the best. Now, I don't really know if they're in competition or if it's totally coordinated. I tend to think it's probably all coordinated, and I don't know how they would coordinate it and divvy up the money amongst the different pharma companies. But No Agenda show are going on about how well Pfizer is doing, because it seems like Pfizer is doing the best marketing and whatnot. But I don't know. It's to me, it's all poison anyway. But what was I going to say? Okay, so there is, let's see if there's anything in the media about UNDRIP.
The vaccines real quick.
Go ahead.
On the vaccine, so down in the States here, I believe they've paused, quote unquote, paused the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Had you heard about this?
No. Well, I hear every story. It's on, it's off. Yeah. You need one dose, you need three doses. Yeah. I think the average person is just spinning with the information.
I was just thinking for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that maybe they're not totally coordinated in cahoots and they're actually actively trying to harm the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because they don't. That's the one that's the more traditional one, that's the one shot, and they don't even want people to have that option. You know, they're like, only the two-shot one that, you know, supposedly changes your DNA. That's the only ones they really want left.
Yeah, I don't even – well, first of all, at Fakeologist, I don't believe in DNA. So that's strike number one.
Preach, yeah.
I really don't think. I think it's just chemotherapy. It's poison. And when I found out, like, we went for consultations for my daughter who has autoimmune disorders coming out the yin yang, including type 1 diabetes, which I think is caused by vaccine injury. I'm positive. So when we went to discuss potential treatments for just that one of her autoimmune disorders, we were offered chemotherapy.
Wow.
And I said, okay, what is that? What was that? So they inject you with poison. And I said, what's the rationale? What is it doing? Give me the process. Give me your interpretation. You, Mr. or Mrs. Endocrinologist, which is someone who is the, who basically specializes in autoimmune disorders. What is the process? And basically the process is when you poison the body, you're literally trying to jar it out of doing whatever it's doing. So it's almost like taking a hammer and just smashing you over the head just to cure your headache and then hope that it stops whatever was causing the headache. That's what it is.
It's disgusting.
It's unbelievable, disgusting. But that's what it
These
is.
People don't know the first thing about health. They don't know the first thing about health.
No, they just, they literally, it's like electrotherapy. You know, when in the day when people had bad thoughts or they're schizophrenic or they would do shock therapy. They just literally fry or just try and change some of the pathways in the brain by shocking the hell out of it and then hope that whatever happens at the other side is better than what you began with. It's the same thing. So I think that my theory is that there's these big pharma companies have to be coordinated. This whole operation's coordinated from the get-go. The numbers, the cases, all this simulation is based on recreating America 2050 and the mega regions. That's all it's about there. But I think from a drug poisoning testing point of view, they are probably trying different cocktails to see which ones are harmful, which ones are faster kill, because I think the end game, as gruesome as it sounds, is they want to sterilize young people, they want to keep the middle section of the population working, and they want to kill off the old people. So everyone needs a different type of poison. So I really think they are testing different things. It is a voluntary, worldwide, coerced drug experimentation, open season testing. And
enthusiastic participants. I mean, they couldn't be more proud to be participating in this. In this, like, complete, it's reckless. It's total reckless.
Can you imagine how hard it would be normally to... I mean, normally the way it works is they paid poor people lots of money to experiment. And some people are so damn poor, $1,000 or $2,000 a week would get them in there for drug testing. And I don't know how they could do that based on the Nuremberg Accords, where you're not allowed to test experimental anything on humans. But I don't know if you pay for it, maybe it works. I don't know. But they've turned the tables. Now people are begging for it. So as I've said, and Jeff said from the Dollar Vigilante, you just have to spend the next 5 years trying to stay alive. avoiding the quack scene. Just, it's going to be really hard.
I mean, even if you believe all of the deaths that are being reported from the vaccines, which, I mean, I'm even skeptical of that, but it's still, even if you believe all those deaths, it's not that many deaths. I mean, I would have thought, I mean, a lot of people were predicting that maybe
they're
going to go
into
people's arms.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you particularly, but, you know, people, you know, making all these claims about the vaccines killing people. Why are people not, all these people not dead? This is the perfect opportunity.
Well, I don't
people
know. We're
more
just
enthusiastic than ever.
We're
you know?
Just not getting the reports. I don't think the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Effect Registry Reaction Database, is accurate. It's not even built really very well. The database is very poorly written.
It's self-reporting.
Self-reporting.
Why would you believe any of it? I mean, it's total.
It's exactly. You know. And who is? And as a doctor from British Columbia said, because he actually wrote a letter to the chief ghoul in British Columbia and said, "Listen, he's been treating a certain Indian population of 1,000 people or 3,000 people for the last 30 years, so he knows these people." And he's seeing some really adverse reactions, like we're talking about MS, which because it's an autoimmune, because these poisons trigger your autoimmune system. That is the definition of a quaxine. That they're getting nerve damage, which is what polio is. So the myelitis, the myelin sheath of the nerves, is getting burned off, and so then they have short circuiting of their electrical system, which includes Bell's palsy and just all kinds of pain and burning. You know, when you're frying your, it's like burying a wire in an electrical circuit. The thing's going to short circuit all over the place and catch fire, and it's just a mess.
Yeah.
And he asked the doctor, the chief epidemiologist, which is not a real doctor, what to do. He says, "Hey, you got to give advice. You guys are pushing this, so what's the treatment, guys?" And he was basically told they don't have a treatment. So good luck. Figure it out yourself. So I believe this guy. He said there are real people getting hurt. And that's the
I
other
believe
thing.
That.
I would rather, yeah, and he says he's had patients that are 80 years old that are in extreme pain and they just want to die. But he also said to report adverse reactions, he had a 9-page thing he had to fill out. And he said, "It takes at least an hour to do." Well, I get paid by he's on piecework. He doesn't get a salary like all the ones where I live got converted over to flat rate, $300,000 a year. So he's on piecework where he is.
All the doctors just get paid a flat $300,000 a year?
A lot of the family, a lot of the general practitioners, the GPs, the people that just are general doctors. Yeah. They were flipped over to, I was told last year they
like
were
a government employee, right? Like a
everyone's a
government
employee.
Fixed rate. Oh,
but what happens
nightmare.
Is you, as a doctor, you run your own business. You run your own small business. So you run your own clinic. But a lot of them merged into family practices, where there may be a large number packed into one location, and they all get $300,000. So they all went to flat rate because now they're not really doing any practicing, are they? They're all behind their computer screens at home. How can you diagnose someone over a computer screen? You can't use any of your senses to determine what's going on. You're looking at them through a computer screen and a bad microphone. I mean, look at all the podcasts now.
It's impossible.
So that's why they were just switched to flat rate, because all the things that they were normally doing in a clinic where maybe they were on piecework and make a bit of money, they can't do. But the other thing is, if the clinics are closed, then their expenses are probably way down, except for maybe just the real estate part of it. But their employees aren't coming in. So that's what's happening there. But this guy is saying it takes him an hour to fill out the form. He says, "I don't have an hour. I don't get paid to fill out this adverse reaction form." So how many doctors do you think are doing that? He says, "Not many." So that's the other flip. So that's probably happening in the U.S. too.
Yeah, the COVIDian religion, I mean, a central tenet is that vaccines can do no harm. I mean, that's a central tenet of that religion, you know.
Well, that is the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. And that's why I don't think too many doctors are giving the quaxine, because they would definitely be going against their religion. So that's why I think the guy behind the meat counter at Kroger's is probably giving the quaxine. He didn't swear any oath.
Oh man.
He swears an oath to clean the meat cutter at the end of his shift. That's it.
No shit. They don't know any better. I bet you these people, yeah, they're low wage employees. They just go up and jab a freaking little.
They're public health people, and I bet you they hired thousands of them with the COVID, with the CARES Act in the U.S. And here they've unleashed the pipe. Oh, yeah. So they've probably hired old factory workers. They're probably just putting on pajamas and face masks and poking people. It's sick.
It's a freaking closed down grocery store down the street from my house, and they turned it into a vaccine clinic every weekday.
I know.
It's full-blown, full-spectrum dominance that's going on.
I know. How can you resist? This is the COVIDian culling, I'm telling you.
Why are these people not dying? They should be freaking dropping. Going on right now, and I'm not seeing it.
Going
to happen in the future?
They're not that stupid to do a direct cause and effect. I'm sure the odd person who is in bad shape might be pushed over the edge, but I'm sure most of them are just getting long-term chronic damage, which is almost worse.
Yeah.
Like, try being a type 1 diabetic. I guess I'm never going to stop talking about that because I see that every day.
Horrible. I had a friend of mine, his son they got diagnosed with that type 1 diabetes too, and I was asking him just gently, yeah, kind of trying to say, you know, figure out what where he got it, you know, and I think if I remember, he said it was genetic, which is probably another hoax, right? Do you believe in genes?
I agree.
Yeah.
So you can type in, what is the cause of type 1 diabetes? I'll type it right now to get the latest. Let's go to the Mayo Clinic. What do you think? Here we go.
Mayo Clinic. That's right. That's on my neck of the woods, man, the Mayo Clinic. There's a huge old Mayo Clinic hospital.
Okay, here's the first sentence under causes. The exact cause of type 1 diabetes is unknown.
No.
Usually, the body's own immune system, which normally fights harmful bacteria and viruses, mistakenly destroys the insulin-producing islets or islets of Langerhans cells in the pancreas. Other possible causes include genetics or exposure to viruses and other environmental factors. That's it. How much money is spent on diabetes research? How much money is spent, and the problem is they lump type 1 and type 2, which are completely different, so there's probably no way to break that down.
The essence of the scam is that civilization itself is toxic, right? And we're all being poisoned in all these various ways, psychologically, through the water, through the air, etc. at all these times. And so the scam is that they tell you that there's these pathogens floating around in the air, or that you just have this, you're destined by your genes to get sick. So they ignore the obvious poisoning that's going on and come up with these bullshit.
They deliberately ignore because they create the problem. It's very simple Hegelian dialectic. The American Diabetes Association released new research on March 22nd, 2018. Great, great date. They always pick the date. Estimating the total cost of diagnosed diabetes have risen to $327 billion in 2017 from $245 billion in 2012. That's when the cost was last examined. I certainly doubt it. I guarantee they've examined it every minute of every day.
What's the last disease these geniuses have cured? Have you heard of them curing any disease lately?
Coming up with new ones. They're busy researching new ways to cause people chronic illness. So,
yeah, what a bunch of geniuses these fucking doctors, man. Oh my gosh, they're just
now the doctors are just the foot soldiers. It's like blaming a soldier for causing a war.
They're just brain dead. You know, they specifically identify them in the public fool system, the type A's who, you know how to follow all the rules and, you know, do what they're told, and they just identify them and they bring them into the medical schools and they continue on with this like boot camp mentality. And
here we go. These are the villains in society. Here's a study at harvard.edu. The global cost, and this is from 2016. Now, we are in the age of information, and I'm finding information from five, six years ago. That's just unacceptable. We can't get up. If we can get up to the date cases from normally hard to report counties in the United States by
yeah,
the hour.
Every 15 minutes. Yeah.
Right. You know, when before it would take months for that info to get in to this central database. So it's just more proof that it's a simulation. So the latest thing we have here is 2016. And it says the global cost of diabetes is $825 billion a year. And it says here the research, which was led by scientists from Imperial College London and the T.H. Chan School of Public Health, the World Health Organization, all the same clowns that are caught, that are in charge of the COVID coronavirus hoax are doing all the research. So we got Imperial College, we've got another school in public health. I'm surprised it's not Johns Hopkins. We got the WHO. Like, these are the guys giving us all these numbers. So really, they are the ones that cause it. They know damn well what causes the illness. I mean, everyone should know how a basic quaxine is supposed to work. The theory is it inflames your immune response with whatever the denatured or dead organism is, grown in all kinds of chemicals and animals, and it's injected into you, and it causes your body to go crazy and then memorize and create antigens. And therefore, they will be in reserve in your system for when the real guy comes floating along. Now, the real guy will come floating along, and it'll come through your normal protective layers, like your respiratory system or your digestive system, unless you're busy injecting yourself with other things. So, even that is another. Piece of BS, another incongruency, should I say. And so basically, they tell you they over-energize your immune system. That is the process. Even though I don't believe in the immune system, they basically just supercharge your system with poison and your body goes nuts trying to get rid of it. And I'm guessing a lot of the poison gets concentrated in some of your different organs. And that's what kills them off. So if your body cannot metabolize the poison, it just settles in certain areas of your body. So there's certain poisons that settle in your pancreas and then just interrupt the chemical processes that make insulin. And you got stuff that goes to your liver and burns off your liver. All kinds of things. But basically, your body will just super concentrate them, or they'll migrate to certain areas of your body and kill off the organ that it's designated to do. So that's really how I think that injections work. And like I said, the endocrinologist we went to see pretty much just admitted it, that whatever we're giving, a form of chemotherapy, which is just biological poisoning, chemical poisoning, to try and jar your body into changing the chemical processes that are causing whatever your body's manifesting, like other autoimmune diseases. So it's just, to me, it's just witchcraft. I'd rather eat an eye of newt and whatever else incantations are created by your local witch boiling a cauldron. Same thing. You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree with that explanation of, yeah, the shots. That makes a lot of sense to me. That, yeah, you just kind of like this persistent poison.
Yeah. Well, they all do different things. Hey, I meant to tell you, I went to Local Monero today, that website you gave me, and I tried it out for the first time. So there aren't too many options in Canada to buy it directly. So there's just one guy, it seems, that's doing all the business here. So I started the process, and I didn't finish it. So the guy sent me a message saying he canceled the transaction because – normally, there's a million steps to take to get the thing rolling. So I just started it because I was just seeing how it worked, and I stopped. I stopped the process because I got distracted. I had to do something, like go out and drive somewhere. And then when I came back, he canceled the transaction. He said, you do that one more time, I'll ban you. I said, what are you talking about? Because he wanted about 10 things, a video and bank accounts and all that.
Oh, did he? Okay,
and I said, what are you talking about? I just didn't have time to finish it. I didn't know there was a ticking clock. So then he banned me. So, and I can't give him a feedback rating because you can only give feedback if a transaction occurred on that site. So, I'm not sure I'm going to recommend it for any Canadian at this point. So figure out another way to buy your Monero, I think, guys. I'm going to take that off my website after that experience.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
There's a lot of easier ways to get it. I think the easiest way is just to buy Bitcoin because it's so widespread now. And then just flip your Bitcoin into Monero. I wouldn't recommend localmonero.co at this time because there's only, at least where I live, there's only one guy that seems to control the entire market. Not good.
Yeah, in the States here, there's a lot more options than that. So, you know, maybe it's different. But, yeah, if you just buy Bitcoin, just trade it to Monero, I mean, yeah, that's...
It's a lot easier because everyone and their dog is selling Bitcoin now.
Some pirate? Do you see pirates been going crazy lately?
Yeah, I bought some pirate coin.
Right on.
You know, even if it's only going up because Jeff is pumping the hell out of it, which is probably what's actually happening. Jeff has a lot of pull. A lot of people listen to him, and I don't know how thinly traded it is, but you know, Jeff is in the business of selling advice, basically. That's his business. Newsletters and getting... Whatever he has, he's a great promoter. Let's put it that way. So that's a business. I don't mind. And maybe Piratecoin is secure, more secure. I don't know. All I know is it's like playing with the penny stocks. That's what it is. So don't put all your money there.
So yeah, definitely. Don't do that.
Just put, if you like to play the ponies or the markets or the coins, it's all the same to me. You can't go... You can't hold them in your hand. You can't go and visit them. You can't touch them. But they may or may not be the future. I don't know. But it's a little bit fun because you can track it all on your phone. Your phone rings when it goes up. And I don't have any of my stock portfolio do any of those things. As a matter of fact, I don't think it can because it's in an investment firm. But with technology coupled with crypto... Your phone can go wild when these things go up and down. It's quite dramatic.
It has taken on this gambling whole. I mean, the whole economy is like a gambling mentality right now. But
sure. I agree.
But listen, cryptocurrency is a potential hope for the masses. You know what I'm saying? It's just a technological innovation that maybe could be. You know, help us fight back against centralized, banksters. So it's some hope, you know, and, if you can make some money along the way or whatever, that's great. But, I'd encourage people to, kind of learn about it and understand what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
That's ultimately the important part about it. I mean, the right now it's kind of crazy, but
it's the wild west.
Ultimately something will settle down.
It's so the wild west right now. It really is. Yeah. And I think there is some kind of hope. I think there is a danger that the powers that be could maybe get some competition in the currency business and the controlling the markets business, but it's hard to tell. You know they're there. You know they're behind some or half or most of them, and there's just no doubt in my mind.
Why would they not just go full-scale attack on these cryptos at some point? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because, listen, this is their whole essence of their mafia organization is the banking, you know. So
I agree.
If we take that banking from them, I mean, they're not going to go down without a fight. I mean, these guys are – absolutely. They have declared war on the people. The people just don't know it yet. So,
it's definitely a war on the people. It's time to cull the herd. The herd is fat, out of shape, sickly, deep in debt. Their jobs are gone. The whole promise of a service economy is gone. manufacturing and making stuff is still where it's at, and you can't get anything done with our very combative political system, and they've got their model working full blast in China. It works very well. You can't own property, though. I actually ran into a Chinese guy on the weekend, and he's here in Canada, and I asked him how it works in China with private property. Well, they don't have private property, but if you get a house over there, they'll give you a 70-year lease on the land or the house. I'm not sure. I don't think you can own the house. You definitely don't own the ground it's on, but he's talking about a 70-year lease. And the thinking is after 70 years, your house needs to be probably knocked down anyway and rebuilt, and then they'll just move you. So you don't really own anything, which I guess is the reason that if Chinese people in their sort of capitalist slash communist system are making money, well, because you can't own property, that's why they're shipping their money here. And that's actually what Mike Martins talks about. I want to have him on an interview. So the reason why all the Chinese money is coming over here to buy our property and drive us out of our affordable housing is because you can own stuff here at the moment. So you can buy land here. You can buy property. So that's what's I think that's actually a very good theory about what's happening. That's why all the first world nations, including the Five Eyes nations, their properties are going crazy. Because once they have a beachhead and they have people in different countries, just because all these first world countries were asking them to come over and bring their money, now that they have their people in place because they were asked, they're shipping their money over here and driving our real estate through the roof because they can't buy stuff in China, even though they're making tons of money. So they got to put their money somewhere. So that actually makes a lot of sense to me.
That's pretty fucked up if that's what's happening.
Well,
I hope not. I've heard that.
Have you heard that?
Sense. And it's, yeah, actually, I was talking to somebody who's not awake, just somebody I know.
Yeah.
And I was asking, we were talking about the housing market, and they were saying, I mean, they're totally not awake at all. And he was saying the exact same thing you said, that all these people from China are buying property all over the United States. I hadn't heard that before, but
now you know why.
I mean,
because they can't buy, they can't own stuff there.
Sure.
You can't own your own home over there. You lease it. Well, that's not a great investment if you're just going to lose it. Like, even if it's for 70 years, which of course is more than a lifetime. It is a lifetime at the most, and I'm guessing you can't transfer it either. So you can't give it to your children. So that's why they come to these so-called first world nations where you are allowed to own stuff, land. Right? And obviously the most stable investment over time is land because they don't make more of it. But if their plan is to take the land, which I think it is, through UNDRIP, then you're going to lose it over here as well anyway. And that was actually what I wanted to talk about before I let you go, because I got to go to bed. Just looking at the news, I think I got rid of it. So let's bring up news here on my screen. And as you can see here, none of the top stories. Now, let me look on this page. So this is the generic news page where I am. Let's see if UNDRIP comes up on this page. UNDRIP, UNDRIP. Have you heard of UNDRIP, by the way, Walker?
I've heard the name, but I couldn't describe it for you.
Okay, so looking on the generic main page of Google News, which I use, there's nothing on UNDRIP. So now we'll search for it. And what's happening with UNDRIP? And I guarantee 99 out of 100 Canadians don't have any idea what it is. Oh, 3 days ago, it does come up. From 3 days ago, Liberal motion to impose closure on UNDRIP bill passes, limiting time for debate. Because there's just no time to debate it. So there you go. The Liberal government that runs Canada is in a rush to get this through. So they are going to close debate off So it goes to another vote and gets a little bit closer to passing. So there you go. And here's the article. Does it even say what UNDRIP's about? Nope, not really. This whole article doesn't really say what UNDRIP's about. Isn't that amazing? I'm not going to read the article. But it really doesn't say what it's about.
Just trust them. They know what they're doing. They have your best interests at heart. So don't worry too much about the definitions and the details.
But from what the one guy who's talking about it on YouTube said, Ron somebody or other, basically he says that it allows Indigenous to lay claim to any land in Canada. They don't define what Indigenous means, though. So maybe I'm Indigenous. We've been here three generations. I don't know. And basically the implication is if you basically walked across a certain area or you were known to have been in a certain area up to, what, 500 years ago, you could say it's yours. So if you if you guys were wandering through downtown Toronto for a while, hey, lay a claim. That office tower is probably yours. And that's what it's all about. It's so wide open, but basically it's to basically give the Indigenous unlimited claim to the land. And the thought is this is the mechanism that they're going to get people off the land. So they'll just say, oh, you're on this tribe's land. And in the last year, I've noticed at certain events, the opening line is, we want to give thanks to this or that Indian band for allowing us to be on their land. And I thought, where did this come from? Why are you guys saying this? Okay, we know the Indians were here before the Europeans, but why all of a sudden are you paying tribute every time you start a discussion on wherever we are? And this is at the universities, and it's just getting the children indoctrinated in the idea that it's not their land, and they're on someone else's land.
Right.
And they want to get them used to the idea that you will be moved off the land, because we told you that we're on someone else's land, and we didn't pay them enough, or we didn't do this or that. We lost.
They're not going to move them off the land. They're going to voluntarily give up their land because they feel so guilty.
That's right. Exactly. So when you're moved off.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. But that's going to be the mechanism. So we're going to have this elite class. What are they going to do? They're going to find the most Indigenous person they can and say, listen, can you just go over and lay a claim? We'll back you. We'll spend all the money. We'll cut you in. We'll do it 50-50. So you're going to get this super class of Indigenous people that are going to roam around North America kicking everyone off their land, and then they'll just basically say, you know what, we can't figure it out. How about nobody own this? This will just be owned by the party or the one-party state or whatever they want to call it. So, and that's how it's going to happen, I think. I think that's the super danger of this. And no Canadian knows about this.
Get it together, Canada. Man, you
guys
really
It's coming down your way. Like I said, Walker, the invasion of the United States is going to come from the north. It's not coming from the south.
I mean, it's here, but hey, listen, at least my area, it's going the opposite direction right now, thankfully, so I'm just, enjoying the reprieve.
Well, that's it.
But
if I have to, I'm coming south.
I mean, I'm not as committed to this being a destiny as you are. I think that there's like a lot, there's other variables going on, and there are, you know, there's just a lot of uncertainty. So, you know, I pin my hopes, you know, on that. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, we're in the eye of the hurricane. That's the problem. So.
But, I think, you know, if you personally, I mean, the more you're informed personally, though, the better decision you can make personally for yourself and your family. That's why it's important to understand the truth of this stuff, because, you know, at least you're not going to be a lamb off the slaughter, you know. At least you give yourself a chance.
Wow. Well, here you go. I'm reading, this is hot off the press. I'm reading Telegram, which is supposed to be the be-all and end-all of places. So Chris Guy, do you know Chris Guy? Chris Guy is the...
Of course. Yeah.
Okay,
legend.
So Chris Guy is banned from the flying in Canada. He's a terrorist. So he drove out west, which is a long drive, 40 hours drive. Okay, which is a lot of driving. And now he was staying at some of the nicer hotels. He went to 4 Fairmont properties in 3 provinces. And after the rally on the weekend, he's now banned from those properties.
Man, they're good.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
And now.
Fascism.
It says on Telegram, where he moved his operations to Telegram. And he got an email from Telegram, or he got a telegram from Telegram, that says that his account has been limited on Telegram. That's the first I've ever heard of this. So he can't do certain things on Telegram now. Wow.
Damn, Telegram. That's the first I've heard about Telegram. Telegram's like really Wild West. You can find some really... crazy stuff. I mean, not crazy, but just, you know, non-mainstream stuff that would just get censored anywhere else. It seems like an abundance on Telegram.
Well, guess what? Now he is limited. He's not banned from Telegram, but he's limited. So he did create his own website. I hope he got a good host, because that'll be next. So these guys are...
What do you think the chances are this guy winds up in jail, like, for a long period of time?
Probably... They probably rise by the day, because he was at a rally in Calgary this weekend, and he had a really big crowd, and they came to see him. I'm telling you, the guy is a very good speaker.
He's great. I mean, he's got an amazing charisma. I mean, he's awesome. I mean, I think the guy's great. Yeah.
So he, you know, the funny thing is, he's a little guy. I think he's 5'7". But someone said that people his age in their 30s, he's sort of a Roganite type guy, where they get really juiced up on top and they're really, really big. And apparently it's something that people his age group do. It's not just unique to him, but you can imagine the guy was at 5'7", that's pretty short. So when you're a little guy, you got to do something to get noticed. And obviously he went and got really big and pumped iron, and he's obviously in great shape, and now he's a great speaker. So some of the little guys like him are full of energy just so they don't get stepped on in life, because that's just how life works. So I'll pay him a ton of credit for what he's done, honestly.
I mean, he's really putting himself out there. I mean, and... you know, really mocking these people, you know, so good on him. I mean, I love it. I don't know what I hope the best, but yeah, what's stopping him from just fucking this guy over, you know?
I know, and the problem is Canadians, I would say less than half, support his ideas, his bravado. Canadians don't like loud people overall. So that's his biggest opposition. It's just the style. People have a style, and it's just not a Canadian way. And I don't even know if, quite frankly, it's an American way anymore. I don't know. I haven't seen anyone like him in America speaking up that I know of.
I don't know. I think, I'm not sure. It's hard for me to say. I mean, my impression of Canadians has always been that they're, much more... easygoing and stuff than Americans. I mean, there's a lot of Americans out here who are out here filming the cops every day. And
I love those guys.
You know, so, I mean, that's kind of routine for a lot of Americans. I mean, there's a lot of rowdy Americans, but not on the COVID, there's nobody like analogous to him that I can think of.
And this is why we have the right to just say no!
So here it is. Here's the crowd in Calgary. That's the biggest one I've seen. Anyway, that, that's a pretty good crowd. That's him in Calgary yesterday, and I don't know what happened today. It's going to be hard to find out because he's been knocked off everywhere. So I put it on FakoTube, so maybe I'll help him out with that as well. I don't know. But, yeah, they're definitely putting the screws to him, no doubt, which is sad. So hopefully we'll be able to get out of this mess, but I'm not too hopeful at the moment.
Yeah, the hope I have is that it's the solution is rather simple. It's just everybody just ignore this stuff, you know. That's just the solution. So
yeah.
It's not, you can imagine it happening. I'm not saying it's like likely or easy, but it really is kind of that's all it would take. I mean, people could just, you know, there's, if everybody just stops, you know, listening, then, you know, that would stop, would put it dead in its tracks because this is all psychological and they're just, you know, basically controlling people through the TV and the phone. And if they realize that, maybe, you know, maybe they'd go on with their lives and realize that there's a richer, more fulfilling existence out there than the one being manufactured for them. That's all I got to say, brother. I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
I got to get running myself.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling in, Walker. Good call. You got a lot of fans on my site, so everyone likes to hear from Walker. So thanks for checking in. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
Man, I always appreciate you giving me the time. So.
No, it's great.
Care.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm going to close out, too, so I'll say goodnight. And good night, Walker. And I'm going to... say goodnight to you guys all. We're here Sunday to Thursday at 8:30 to usually 9 or 9:30 unless I get a call. We had Walker, so we're even longer tonight. If you like this show, fakeologist.com/donate. If you don't like it, fakeologist.com/donate. Both work. And I'm going to delete this video off YouTube right now before I forget. Go to fakeotube.com, sign up there. It's my own video platform. I put my favorite videos. I didn't even talk about half of them tonight. I added about 10 really, really good ones, including the Chris Sky one. Take a look. I'm finding different people that you've probably never heard of. And I put Susan Stanfield on my site. I got a bunch of her videos. There's already more views on FakoTube of her stuff than on her YouTube account on many of her videos. The emergency orders one, I think, I just put up. It's not quite at the YouTube level, but I try and put up my favorite stuff that you probably won't find on your own. And if you just go to FakoTube, if you don't like to read, go to FakoTube. If you do like to read, go to fakeologist.com/blog. And you can read some of my commentary about that. All right, on that, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be talking more about the COVIDian takeover. And please join us. Take care. Good night.